Connie did want to clarify that the material that's on the back is for those who might not still have their books, the ladies, the ones that you had been using before. So it's not like it's a new book. It's simply if you can't find the book that you had, that's the material back there. It's good to see each one of you. And we appreciate your presence this morning. And I didn't really want you to know we're going to talk about relationships, but we'll go ahead and do that since you already see that we're going to be talking about relationships. I want to begin by telling you a true story, and it has to do with Jackie Robinson. If you'll remember, Jackie Robinson was the first black athlete to cross the color barrier in baseball and to play for the Yankees. And the problems that he endured have been documented even in a film that was about him. But in the early period of time when he was with the Yankees themselves, the fans, were not big recipients for him. I know oftentimes folks up north think that only in the South were there problems with the racial discrimination and even hatred. But it was all over the country. Northerners weren't immune to it. And so he had to fight the attitudes of those within the Brooklyn Dodgers. I think I said the Yankees. But in fact, he had to fight it as well. He was a very accomplished athlete, but as he was playing, there came a time when he actually committed an error. And there at Ebbets Field, when he committed that error, the basically white crowd began to boo him. And the booing got louder and louder. And one of the most popular men on that field at the time was the shortstop, Pee Wee Reese. And as they were booing him, Pee Wee Reese, without saying anything, went over and stood beside Jackie Robinson and put his arm around him and just looked at the audience, looked at the crowd, and the booing began to subside. What he was signaling to them was that this man is my friend. And it was a tremendous turning point and their acceptance of Jackie Robinson. And then he went on to do great things for baseball and for, I think, all of us in America as people were trying to figure out exactly where that relationship between blacks and whites was going to go. Though the Civil War had been fought a few decades earlier, there was still animosity both in the North and in the South. It showed friendship. It showed a relationship. What I'd like to do today, both this morning and this afternoon, is talk about that matter of friendship, that matter of relationship, and what a great gift it is for each and every one of us. I think that if we understand that within our own lives, we'll understand the blessing it is and what we can give to others in the relationships that we develop. What I'd like to do this morning is look at the relationship that comes from the matter of our friendship with one another. And apparently for some oddball reason, my PowerPoint's going to look strange. And I'm not sure why that's happening. It didn't happen when it was up here earlier. We're also going to be looking at relationships when it comes to family and the importance of that. And we're going to look at relationships in spiritual matters with regard to God. Let's begin by talking about and looking at the importance of relationships as we consider the relationships within our friendships with others. I think we need, first of all, to make sure that we understand what it means to make one a friend. What's truly involved in developing that relationship that is so significant that it creates a connection with others. It tells us that we have a similarity between ourselves that transcends a lot of other things that are going on in our lives and in the communities in which we live, in our community here, and in the relationship we're going to have with friends. And probably one of the best ways to understand the importance of friendship and what it does within our lives is to simply look at some words that are going to tell us from Scripture what friendship is all about. We're not just talking about acquaintances that we have. We're talking about a wider degree of what we call friends and how it relates to us and what it's all about. Today we're going to be talking about the idea of trust and confidence that we can have and that we might hold with those who are dear friends of ours. Some passages primarily from the Proverbs. The Proverbs are beneficial to us, though while they're in the Old Testament, they weren't part of the law of Moses that the first five books were. And so the Proverbs are in fact pieces of wisdom that God gave through primarily Solomon that can be applicable and are applicable for us today. In Proverbs 12 and verse 26, we notice that the proverb writer says, "The righteous shall choose his friend carefully, his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Solomon, if he is the one that penned that particular proverb, and I think he is making a point. And it is that we need to be careful about the friends we choose. We often think that that's just applicable to the young people, the teenagers, and even those who are not yet teenagers. We as parents and grandparents encourage them, be careful about the friends you choose. But it applies to each and every one of us. Because even after we've reached that age that is often considered young adulthood and into full adulthood, we are in the process of making friends as we go through life. What do we do when we make new friends? How do we decide if those new friends will become especially close to us and go beyond simply being acquaintances? It's something that you as young people have to do, but it's something that we as older folks have to do as well. And the warning that Solomon gives us here is certainly a warning we need to heed. Because no matter how long we've been Christians, no matter how deep we think our faith is, it is still important that we understand that indeed people can influence us in a negative way as well as those who would influence us in a positive way. In Proverbs 7:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." I think the writer here, Solomon, is telling us, look, yes, we have various friends, but there are going to be friends that develop a deeper relationship with us that is almost like a family relationship. And therefore, when we have that relationship that indeed is one that is like a brother to us, they're the individuals that we want with us when we have to face adversity. God never intends us to face adversity by ourselves. That's something that's important for us to remember. Because each and every one of us, at some time in our lives, are going to have to deal with adversity. And again, while God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are with us in a spiritual sense of that faith we have in them, others will be at times that arm that is around us that gives us a sense of comfort. that companionship in its purity that helps us to understand we're not walking on this earth alone. In the 18th chapter of Proverbs and in verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I think the point here is simply this. We need to understand that if we sit around thinking, I don't have that many friends, boo-hoo-hoo, I'm so depressed because I don't have very many friends. Maybe we're not presenting ourselves as friends. Maybe we're not presenting ourselves in a way that invites others to get to know us, that invites others to indeed reach out and become friends with us. Now, I understand that there are people that are much more private than other people. There are individuals that indeed find themselves just rather introverted, and their circle of friends is going to be extremely small. But you're still going to have that circle of friends, even if it's a small circle. It's not good for you to be a loner. It's not good for anybody to think, I don't need anybody else. I am all that I need, even as I walk here on this earth. Even those who are Christians are not benefited by the idea that I have God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have the Word to guide my life, and I need nothing else but that. God never intended us to take our relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as the only relationship that we have on this earth, and therefore intending us to try to go it alone. Jesus had, among all of His disciples, had a close group of friends, the 12. And even among those, He had an even closer group, as you think about how many times it talks about Peter, James, and John being involved with Jesus in areas that the other apostles weren't. So we need to recognize that if I want to have friends, I need to show myself friendly. Because when I have developed those friendships and been strengthened in those friendships, then what I'm going to find is that I don't have to be alone when I deal with some difficulty. I don't have to be alone when I find myself stressed out over something. When something or someone has disappointed me, I don't have to have a sense of loneliness and dread. Because there are friends in the relationships that I've developed that I can call on, that I know will support me, that I know will lift me up when the world seems to want to be pushing me further, further, and further down in despair. There are responsibilities that I have in taking on friends. And I need to recognize the responsibility that I have toward friends and that I can expect from those who name me as one of their friends. The great responsibility that I have, I think, is the idea of being willing to bear burdens of others, the burdens that they have as they go through life. And let me tell you, there are going to be times when individuals have to bear burdens and they need other people in bearing those burdens, even if the burden that they brought on is one that they have brought on themselves. And it's excessive. It's unlike anything that maybe others have had to face. It may be something that is, I've never had to face it before. And yet here it is before me. And who can I turn to? If I've developed the right kind of relationship in developing friendships, there'll be people that I can turn to who will help me to bear the burden. We need to recognize that burdens, in this sense, are not simply the common everyday struggles that we go through in jobs, in school, in some minor types of relationships. Though heavy burdens can come from that. But rather it is those times when the burdens are brought on by sinfulness within my life. You know, over in Luke the 15th chapter, the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son brought upon himself much of the grief that he was enduring. There in verses 12 and 13, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that it falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. That is, loose and wasteful living. He brought it upon himself. He reached the point where he was all by himself. And yet, when he decided that he had reached the bottom and needed to reach out to friends, the ones that had been with him during his wasteful living, they were gone. His money was gone and they were gone. And finally he realized the place he needed to be was back in his father's house. Even if it was as a humble servant, and yet as you remember the story, his father wouldn't let him be a humble servant, but rather accepted him back. Relationships are important in bearing burdens that we may have brought upon ourselves. And sometimes they are difficulties that we've brought upon ourselves simply in an unintentional way. And I think a lot of that is what we talk about in Galatians, the 6th chapter. There in the 6th chapter and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass," and the word trespass there is the idea of a sin, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." When a brother comes to us with a difficulty that they have put upon themselves, with an unintentional consequence that they hadn't thought through, we need to be there for them. When someone has those difficulties, they need someone to be able to reach out to. Do you allow yourself to be that one? Or do you hope that those individuals that you consider close friends, when they've got that kind of burden from Galatians 6:1, you hope they'll go find somebody else? If we're going to be the proper friends that God wants us to develop, then we need to be willing to help bear the burdens of those individuals. We find that even in weakness, there are friends that can hold us up. In Romans, the 14th chapter and verse 1, Paul references, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." He's talking there about some various aspects, but initially he's making the point to them, be one who can help those who are weak in their conscience. Are you the kind of person, do you have the kind of friendship with anyone within the fellowship that you know you can turn to and gain strength from them as you deal with your weaknesses? I would hope that we've developed those kind of friendships. It might be even in ongoing sicknesses. I'll illustrate it with this particular case without going into the totality of the situation. The woman that had the issue of blood, and she'd had it for 12 years, and then she found herself that nobody was able to take care of it. Jesus healed her of that situation. We need to be there for people as they deal with various problems that arise. We need to be there for others when all kinds of problems may disclose themselves. Financial problems may arise because we found ourselves in a covetous problem, a covetous relationship with money and with material things. And now what are we going to do? We need to have friends that we can turn to. Not friends that are going to necessarily bail us out of that, but that are going to help guide us and steer us to a financial situation that will give us peace of mind that God wants us to have within our lives. There may be times when a financial situation arises simply because of the calamity that takes place in the economy around us. I'm sure there are a number of people here who were affected by the crash that occurred in 2008 and other setbacks that have occurred. In the first century, there were famines that brought about calamity. We might face calamities in the future, and we need to be there for one another when they arise. We recognize passages like Proverbs 27 and verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." What are we talking about in that passage? What we're talking about in that passage is quite simply this. We have to recognize that there are going to be times when we'll have friends that will tell us like it is. They'll lay it on the line to us and say, "Look, here's the problem. You've got your priorities out of order. Here's the problem. This is a relationship that you have with someone that's destructive to you. It's bringing harm to you. It's leading you into relationships, even spiritual relationships, that are not godly. And you need to change the path you're following." You need to recognize that while they may have in many ways great moral character, what they're doing is drawing you away from the fellowship that God wants you to have with other Christians. It may be, see, in that situation, it isn't what you might think I would have mentioned of an individual that's going to drag you into drugs, drag you into drinking, drag you into some type of immoral behavior. That too can be a problem. And the friends that you choose are going to determine whether they drag you into spiritual problems or whether they drag you into moral problems. And don't get technical with me, please. I'm talking about those who would drag us into doctrines that are not right in God's eyes, or those who would drag us into immoral behaviors that are not right in God's eyes. We need to have friends who are willing to hurt our feelings. We need to have friends who are willing to at times cause us to say, "Oh, I don't think you're my friend," until I step back a moment and say, "He told me, she told me those things that seem to hurt because he or she is my friend, and I need to listen to the things that they're telling me." Bearing burdens. A question that I want to ask this morning is quite simply this. Do we in fact help bear people's burdens? Are there people in our circle of friends that we voluntarily step up to help bear a burden that we know they have? Or are we so disconnected from them, though we call them a friend, that we say, "You've got to come to me. You've got to let me know, even though I know you have the problem. You've got to let me know." Now, I recognize from a church perspective, there are certain things, obligations. I'm talking about the relationship we have, the friendships we have with one another? Do we find ourselves truly being willing to help bear burdens? Paul told the Romans in the 12th chapter in verse 15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." If you don't have at least one friend that you can go to and say, "Here's something that's burdening my heart. Here's something that I've just been dealing with by myself, and I need to talk to you about it." And I can just unload to that friend those burdens, and it may bring tears to their eyes and mine. There can be times when it brings laughter to them and to me. Do you have such friends? I would suspect that as husbands and wives, and we'll get into family this afternoon, but I suspect as husbands and wives, our spouse is that one most important friend that's able to bear those burdens with us, to weep with us, and to laugh with us. But even beyond our spouse, it's good to have those who are close enough that they can rejoice with us and they can weep with us. The proverb writer in the 27th chapter, verse 9, says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." Here again, we talked about it a moment ago. The reminder is this: you need to make sure your circle of friends are people who will be honest with you about what's going on in your life and will be honest with you about dangers that you face, changes you need to make in your life, the wrong choices that you may be making, and the difficulties that will come from those choices. If you have a friend that is doing something that's destructive to them spiritually and in just other facets of life, and you sit back and say nothing to them because you're afraid it will damage your friendship, then you're failing them as a friend. You need to be having such a relationship that you can give that counsel, and the one to whom you give it will view it as a sweet-smelling aroma. Again, for husbands and wives, this should be a very easy thing. But for some, even as husbands and wives, it doesn't happen. And I say to you, there needs to be those within your circle of friends that will tell you the things you need to hear, and you will be able to respond positively to it. Now, let me say, just as a quick caveat to this, I'm not suggesting that if a spouse is not all they should be in presenting some of the things we've talked about, you go and seek counsel from the opposite sex and put yourself in a position where they replace the closeness that your spouse has with you. If you feel that you aren't getting that kind of support that we've been talking about from your spouse, make sure that whomever you find it with, it is somebody that will not be a temptation to commit any immorality because you are seeking something needed within you, as we as human beings have within us. I hope you understand my point clearly. Again, the passage we used earlier, Galatians 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Be that individual that goes to the friend who is beginning to walk in darkness and put your arm around them and bring them back to walking in the light. James says in the 5th chapter, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I believe this is primarily talking to individuals and individual relationships. We must be sure that we are willing to confess things to others that will allow them to pray for us about specific things. We should have confidence in some individuals that we can say, if I talk to them about this delicate matter, they'll go to God in prayer and they won't go to other people. They won't carry it to another and another, that those who might want to do me harm because of that which I've talked to this person about will come back at me. Be that person, pardon me, be that person who is able with confidence to share the difficulties that arise within your life. In Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 1, Paul says, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Do you bear the burdens of others? Do you help them in difficulties that arise? I would hope that you are such a person. There is a warning that we need to take from this, and that is the warning that we've kind of alluded to. It's choosing the right kind of friends. In Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Have the kind of friends that when you need godly advice, they're going to give you godly advice. When you say something that is corrupt, in God's eyes, they can come back and they can sharpen you with God's Word. That's the point being made here. The final passage this morning is the passage that Paul presents and is applicable to each and every one of us. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We can develop friendships that will take us away from the Lord. And therefore, we must be cautious. The warning is presented for us. And so we should be careful and recognize the importance of friends within our lives in having relationships that will strengthen us and help us on this journey through life. And I would hope that you will do such a thing. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. We're going to begin by referencing what Paul says there in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What was that gift of God? Christ's death upon the cross. And because of that gift, we know what our responsibility is, what our part is. It is to believe the Word, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, believing God to be the Father, turning away from that darkness, coming to the light. And in doing